CD 4.
What are they doing now?
Asked the old man. The young woman glanced at the scrying glass.
Heading rimwards at speed,
she reported.
By the way, they've still got that box on legs.
The old man chuckled, an oddly disturbing sound in the dark and dusty crypt.
Sapient pear wood, he said. Remarkable. Yes, I think we will have that. Please, see to it, my dear, before they go beyond your power, perhaps.
Silence, or...
Or what, Liesa?
Said the old man. In this dim light there was something odd about the way he was slumped in the stone chair.
You killed me once already, remember?
She snorted and stood up, tossing back her hair scornfully. It was red, flecked with gold. Erect, Liesa Wyrmbidder was entirely a magnificent sight. She was also almost naked, except for a couple of mere scraps of the lightest chainmail and riding boots of iridescent dragonhide. In one boot was thrust a riding crop, unusual in that it was as long as a spear and tipped with tiny steel barbs.
"My power will be quite sufficient," she said coldly.
The indistinct figure appeared to nod, or at least to wobble.
"As you keep assuring me," he said.
Liesa snorted and strode out of the hall. Her father did not bother to watch her go. One reason for this was, of course, that since he had been dead for 3 months, his eyes were in any case not in the best of condition. The other was that, as a wizard, even a dead wizard of the 15th grade, his optic nerves had long since become attuned to seeing into levels and dimensions far removed from common reality, and were therefore somewhat inefficient at observing the merely mundane. During his life, they had appeared to others to be eight-faceted and eerily insectile. Besides, since he was now suspended in the narrow space between the living world and the dark shadow world of death, he could survey the whole of causality itself. That was why, apart from a mild hope that this time his wretched daughter would get herself killed, he did not devote his considerable powers to learning more about the three travellers galloping desperately out of his realm. Several hundred yards away, Liesa was in a strange humour as she strode down the worn steps that led into the hollow heart of the Wyrmberg, followed by half a dozen riders. Would this be the opportunity? Perhaps here was the key to break the deadlock, the key to the throne of the Wyrmberg. It was rightfully hers, of course, but tradition said that only a man could rule the Wyrmberg. That irked Liesa. And when she was angry, the power flowed stronger, and the dragons were especially big and ugly. If she had a man, things would be different. Someone who, for preference, was a big, strapping lad, but short on brains. Someone who would do what he was told. The biggest of the three now fleeing the Dragonlands might do, and if it turned out that he wouldn't, then dragons were always hungry and needed to be fed regularly. She could see to it that they got ugly. Uglier than usual, anyway. The stairway passed through a stone arch and ended in a narrow ledge near the roof of the great cavern where the Wyrms roosted. Sunbeams from the myriad entrances around the walls criss-crossed the dusty gloom like amber rods in which a million golden insects had been preserved. Below, they revealed nothing but a thin haze. Above. The walking rings started so close to Liesa's head that she could reach up and touch one. They stretched away in their thousands across the upturned acres of the cavern roof. It had taken a score of masons, a score of years, to hammer the pitons for all those, hanging from their work as they progressed. Yet they were as nothing compared to the 88 major rings that clustered near the apex of the dome. A further 50 had been lost in the old days, as they were swung into place by teams of sweating slaves, and there had been slaves aplenty in the first days of the power. And the great rings had gone crashing into the depths, dragging their unfortunate manipulators with them. But 88 had been installed, huge as rainbows, rusty as blood. From them... The dragons sense Liesa's presence. Air swishes around the cavern as 88 pairs of wings unfold like a complicated puzzle. Great heads with green, multifaceted eyes peer down at her. The beasts are still faintly transparent. While the men around her take their hook boots from the rack, Liesa bends her mind to the task of full visualization. Above her in the musty air, the dragons become fully visible, bronze scales dully reflecting the sunbeam shafts. Her mind